The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this fourth Sunday of Easter, also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. John and discuss how to recognize the voice of the shepherd. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
For many centuries, the Catholic Holy Mass was celebrated in Latin. Today, that tradition continues and is referred to as the extraordinary form of the Mass. The faithful at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 7522 Everhart in Corpus Christi, invite you to join them at the extraordinary form of the Mass in Latin, as encouraged by St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI. Complete with Gregorian chant and with Father Rodolfo Vasquez presiding, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. after recitation of the Holy Rosary. Daily Low Mass takes place every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:05 p.m. St. Edmund Campion Missals in Latin and English are provided for your convenience. For more information, call Jackie Hine at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 361-443-1945.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. Good morning to you, and good morning to everyone who's listening far and wide.
That's right. It's another wonderful day. We have a very nice gospel this morning from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this is a very short gospel this morning, but I guess if we can kind of put it into context, you know, Jesus is having a conversation with people who really don't believe in him. And from some of the research that I did, it said a lot of people in John's community didn't really believe in him.
Right. Well, it's also the result of a question that preceded these verses. The previous verses position this within a question, and the question was basically, how long will you keep us in suspense? Tell us who you are. Mm-hmm. So, you can see that, you know, as we read this, there can either be two types of people asking this question. One would be those who really wanted to know. Tell us who you are. Be clear about it. And the second would be those that may have been trying to trap Jesus. So tell us who you are. In other words, tell us that you are the Son of God and we've got you, because no one can claim to be God's Son. So that's kind of the context, mm-hmm, in which Jesus is responding to this in his own words. So he puts it in the context of the sheep and the shepherd, which, of course, is very pastoral way, mm-hmm, to put it, especially in that part of the world where you can see so beautifully the shepherd walking with the sheep following the shepherd, and there's this intimate bond and relationship, there's interdependence upon the shepherd and the sheep. So Jesus puts his response in that way, that those who really know who I am hear my voice. They recognize me. I recognize them. Several times, you know, that there were people who, like the Samaritan woman, was able to say, "I have found this man, you know, who's told me all about my life." So there were these kind of testimonies already that were there, people recognizing that this was the long-awaited Messiah. But here Jesus, I think, is really speaking of those who have been with him all along, who have heard about him, where his teaching really touched into the core of their being, their greatest longings, their greatest desires. And what he had said, what he had done, was something that resonated with their lives. And so he said, these are the ones that recognize my voice. Mm-hmm. They know that I am their shepherd. I think what's also beautiful is as we look at this following me, how to follow Jesus, as you mentioned in the opening, there's certain things that he wants to offer us. And St. John lists three. I give them eternal life, first of all, that those who follow him, those who believe in him, those who live his life in their own, are offered the gift of eternal life, that this life will never end. So the love and the peace and the joy that we find in following Christ in our own person, but also as a community, we have that offer, that gift of eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. So that is part of Jesus' gift as the good shepherd, giving his sheep eternal life. Secondly, they shall never perish. Again, that even in a world that we see so much loss of life, we see so many things happening that at times we kind of see people see the end of the world happening. But he's saying to those who are his sheep that you'll not perish. You won't be lost into this eternity of oblivion, of nothingness, but you will have life. And finally, that we are secure in the shepherd's hands, that no one can take them out of my hand. And I think there, especially as we walk through life, as we experience life in its great joys and its great happiness, but also in its darkest moments, a person of faith, a person who is a sheep of the shepherd, knows that even within their darkest moment, they can say, I know you're with me. Through a simple prayer like that, or be with me, or put your arms around me, or something, or that famous poem that was very popular a few years ago of walking on the sand, you know, right. In the darkest moments, I looked back and there was only one set of footprints, and those were his. That security.
That's because he was carrying the
right,
person.
That security is there in our life, that he does carry us through moments. Sometimes we may not recognize it because we're too much into ourselves, but that security is promised us as one of his sheep. So it's a very powerful verse that we have, the small gospel this morning, but a very powerful verse which talks to us, and these are, of course, very small concepts in written form, but huge, enormous realities for the human person. Eternal life, never perishing, going into oblivion, and also the peace of mind that Christ secures our very life in our darkest moments. So this is the gift of the Good Shepherd to each one of us who recognize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that we profess as our Lord and Savior.
And he's in this gospel, he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one.
Right. And I think there what we should look at in a real way is that Jesus never draws attention to himself. It's always the Father's plan. It's the Father's will. The Father has given these sheep to me. In the incarnation, in the coming of Christ, he came by the will of the Father. He came to reveal God. He himself is God as well, but he comes to reveal the greatness of God, who is concerned about his sheep and wanted to come and be a part of this human existence, of this life, to draw people to himself, to show us that there is concern. And so, you know, when we try to live our life on our own, in our own security, we know, or we might say our own self-reliance, we rely only on ourselves, we realize that we're not sufficient to cover all the aspects of life, suffering and death, or two, that Jesus offers us, the consolation of life and not perishing and being secure. He can provide that for us. We can't provide that for ourselves. And so Jesus comes in the name of the Father and, of course, was always obedient to the Father. And because of that security, that no one can take them out of the Father's hand because the Father and I are one. So if in another part of the gospel, he said, whoever sees me sees the Father. When he was asked, show us the Father. Whoever sees me sees the Father. So there's this oneness of existence that exists between Jesus and his Father. So to be sure that as we follow Christ, we are following our way, his way, to God the Father.
Well, so we are supposed to recognize the voice of the shepherd, and I guess I could say that sounds easier said than done.
Right.
We've reflected upon this during Lent and, of course, in Easter about that quiet time and that silence. And is that how we would recognize the voice?
Well, certainly. You know, there's Jesus said in a couple of places in the Gospel of John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments and abide in my love. And another one, he says, if you love me, you will keep my word. So there is a it's not a free ride.
Right.
There's a responsibility here because the love that he's speaking of is a love that is a relationship. It's a personal relationship. We are assured of God's love through the coming of Jesus and his own self-sacrifice on the cross for us. And so we're assured of that love, but we also have to respond to that. Life is about responding. Faith is about responding. It's not about just accepting and doing nothing and thinking that I am secure in a little watershed and I just wait my day and my day of judgment and the Lord will receive me. Yes, but he certainly will. But we have to respond to that. We have to respond to his love with our love, both our love for God and our love for neighbor. So wrapping it all up, that to keep his commandments and to abide in his love, to keep his word, all of that means to abide in his love, to live a life of love. This is what the Christian life is about. This is what spirituality is about. Many times people say, my spirituality, or I'm spiritual, and it's as if some kind of an escape hatch.
Right.
You know, I'm beyond the realities of life. No. God came to us, entered into our existence, and if we're really going to live true spirituality, it's first of all, it's two-sided, recognizing, accepting the love of God in Jesus and putting that into practice in our own life, in the dirtiness of life, in the ugliness of situations, in the great joys, and in our own prayer and our worship, coming to Christ, doing something about it. It's not a free ride. And so this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my word, is the command to love God and to love our neighbor. This is what spirituality is all about. This is what the life of faith is all about.
Wonderful. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation in regards to the shepherd. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
The term shalom is usually translated as peace. Often, however, when concepts are moved from one language to another, something is lost in the translation. Shalom encompasses much more than the absence of external conflict or internal turmoil. Shalom is the state of condition of experiencing what is needed to live a fully human life, one that is not wanting in any of those elements we consider essential to complete the development of one's personal potential and therefore the richness of community life. For the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, these essentials include a rich and invigorating relationship with the source of all that is good, the source of all life. With the opening of Shalom Place, the Spirit Center now offers two significant settings for encounters with this God who is love. The Spirit Center is available to groups of all faith traditions. For more information, visit BlunserSpiritCenter.org. To book your next retreat, call 361-888-7537. Till then, Shalom.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, we were talking about that we need to love Jesus, and then in return, you know, with the commandments of loving others. If you could explain that last sentence in this gospel, the Father and I are one.
We don't have enough time.
Well, it's pretty powerful.
You're right. We're talking about the huge mystery, and it's certainly the mystery that people of faith are focusing on more and more today, this oneness, unity. You know, we have bumper stickers say, imagine world peace, you know, and unity coexists and all these things. All that's with a price. You know, it's not something that just is just done for us. The love that Jesus is expressing here at the end of this gospel and saying that the Father and I are one, it's a oneness that comes through love. Of a mutual, what St. John would speak of as a mutual indwelling, where the Father is receives the Son, and this is the mystery of the Trinity. I mean, of course, we're speaking of the Holy Trinity here. The Father receives the Son through his emptiness and his humility. You know, you can't love another person when you're full of yourself.
True.
And so what we're speaking of here, what Jesus is speaking of here, is really the giving us a glimpse into the mystery of the Trinity, which also is a model for human relationships. So the Father is that selfless person of the Trinity that is able, through his emptiness of himself, his own humility, receive into his life, through love, the Son, and vice versa. I mean, the Son is humble, and we see that through the Incarnation. We see that through his life and death on the cross, to receive the life of the Father, to the point of also doing the Father's will. So this mutuality of life, and of course, this is what every existence, Christian existence, human existence, and marriage, of course, is the ultimate expression of that in human terms, that a husband and wife should enter into that kind of a relationship of total selflessness. And I believe our gospel next week is going to speak more about this. But so when he's saying that we're so one, we're one because of love, because of this emptiness in front of each other, which then brings about the life of the Spirit, that you've been around people. I mean, we experience people that are so much in love. There's a certain aura.
That's true.
An aura with that they kind of just send out.
And they're like one.
Right. And you know that they're one. And you're receiving that spirit. Their spirit is then kind of passed on to children. This is the great beauty of marriage. That marriage has that twofold purpose, is the oneness of the couple and also the procreation of children. Their love, which is expressed in a human form through their intimate relationship with one another, that is twofold. It's for their own communication of self in the most intimate way, but it also for the procreation of children. It's like the Holy Spirit. You know, the Father is dwelling in the Son in the Father, and the gift of that is the Holy Spirit that we receive, that we have. And so this is really what he means by that. And it's the final goal. It's the final goal for all of us, because if we take it to the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Of course, this is kind of the Last Supper discourse that's going on here. But if we take it to the 17th chapter, in his final prayer, we call it the priestly prayer, he prayed to the Father, may they be one as we are one. I living in them, you in me, may their unity be complete. So the goal of the Christian faith, the goal of every church, of every parish, of every gathering of Christians, is love. You know, we always try to 5-year goals, 10-year goals, and we place all these goals, and that's fine for human purposes of planning where we're going, where we're headed. But the final, ultimate goal is the oneness of people and breaking it down, marriage, parish life, diocese, is the final goal ultimately in the Christian sense is oneness with each other in Christ.
It's interesting that you mentioned parish life because I think many of our listeners, if they have moved different places or they're trying to find a parish home, they can tell immediately when you go into a parish.
Right, exactly. And this is the role of the Good Shepherd, of the priest of our parish, is to bring about that communion of love in the community. So it's not just to do the sacraments. It is to preach the word in such a way that it builds this communion. And unfortunately, at times, people get attached to one person, like the priest, and we have wonderful priests, but we get attached to the person, and we get blinded by the fact that we all have responsibility to build communion with each other, not to worship a certain person that may have done wonderful things in our life, have helped us in very, very dark moments, have said that right thing, have helped us to learn the faith better. But you know, we're all dispensable. Mm-hmm. The only person that's not dispensable is Jesus Christ. And we have to keep that in mind. So what happens here is what Jesus is showing us in his own life in order to reach this unity of life is obedience. And that is a word we do not like to hear in our secular kind of...
our secular world.
Secular world, secular culture, where I promote myself.
Right.
But the result is not that I diminish myself through obedience, but I find myself. Jesus found himself, and the book of Hebrews says he learned obedience through what he suffered. So learning to be obedient to Christ, obedient to the scriptures, and obedient to the church.
And would that also be that we're servants? I mean, we're here to serve.
Right. And that's not servile service, so that's not servile obedience, but it is obedience out of love. You know, the highest form of love that a child can show their parent is obedience, to obey them, but not, again, out of command and jump, but out of, I love you so much, I'm obeying your will. Now, we always have to be careful if something is imposed on us that is against the life of the church or, you know, somebody creates their own rules and laws, we have to be careful there. But this obedience, when the church speaks, it's in sync and harmony with the scriptures and the tradition of the church. We need to listen to that, especially in the areas of morality. You know, it's so countercultural. It goes so much against the culture of the day, but we need to be docile in the Holy Spirit and listen. And this is how unity is brought about and fostered in people's lives and in communities' lives.
Well, you know, you were talking about the our priest. Today just happens to be the World Day of Prayer for Vocations.
Yes.
And it's interesting, it's not the World Day of Vocations, it's Prayer for Vocations.
Right. Yes, it's important that we all recognize that you know, when Jesus spoke about sending people into the harvest, the first thing he did is ask for prayers. Pray that the harvest master send laborers into the harvest. Again, we need good programs. We have a full-time vocation director in the diocese. We have young women that are contacting different congregations in the diocese and beyond, saying, I feel something inside. I feel something inside. And we need to respond to that with people that can reach out to them, that can help them and guide them, whether it's to be a priest, to be a consecrated a male, or in the women's part, consecrated life as a religious consecrated sister. We need people, structures, programs. But first and foremost, Jesus said, pray that the Lord send new laborers into the harvest. So on this day, it's important that that the work of Christ that we've just spoken of and that we speak of every Sunday here, that continue, that proclamation of the gospel, both in word and in deed. And so we need priests. We need young men to come forward to put their life at the service. And it is a sacrifice. If any of you are listening, it is a sacrifice, but a beautiful sacrifice. And you know that it is right because it resonates with you. We need young women to come forward to be present in so many areas of our diocese and in the church, the ministry of prayer. the ministry of schools, teaching in schools, of helping the poor, in hospitals, in so many places, that the gospel is preached by life. And sometimes that's harder. That's right. More difficult than being able to proclaim the gospel in word, but also living it out in life. So vocations come from a person's faith, a faith that says, I want to serve, I'm being called to serve. So I would appeal to those young men and women who might be listening today that feel that there's something moving in their inner being, never to be afraid. We hear sometimes people say, well, I didn't know who to talk to, I was afraid. But don't be afraid. I mean, all of us have been through this. Reach out to a parent, somebody in the parish, one of the priests, a sister, one of the religious sisters, or somebody. Just reach out and say, hey, this is going on. Because we're praying. We are, as a diocese, as a whole church, we are praying for new vocations. The challenges for the future are many, and they are great. But we know, I know, that God never allows his church to be abandoned. And if there are greater problems, there are going to be greater priests. There's going to be greater sisters. There's going to be people who, in our day and age, will be able to respond to those needs. I remember telling a friend of mine that I was doing spiritual direction with for many years. She was called to be the superior of her order, and she was petrified. She's deceased now in heaven. In fact, I just saw her picture this morning that I keep in my room. And she said, I just don't know what to do. And I said to her, you know, the Lord gives us the grace when we need it, not before, but when we need it. So to the young men and women, if you feel that you are being called to something, come forward, speak to someone. The Lord will give you what you need to respond to that call.
Wonderful. Well, Bishop, if you could end our segment with a closing prayer and a blessing.
Let's use the prayer for vocations that we have for the whole church. God, our Father, we thank you for calling men and women to serve in your Son's kingdom as priests, deacons, religious, and consecrated persons. Send your Holy Spirit to help us respond generously and courageously to your call. May our community of faith support vocations of sacrificial love in our youth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.